Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to this week's Irish Farmers Journal Farming News Podcast. I'm Barry Murphy, news correspondent here on the team. On this week's episode, we're going to discuss the findings of a reader survey on almost 2,000 farmers, including their plans for fertiliser spreading and reducing stock numbers. We'll also discuss HAP entitlements and the IFA's call to ban the below-cost selling of food. The livestock teams in Eve Gunn will bring us the views of farmers at Ballymart, and we hear from farmers in Wexford who say they have been disrespected by the new cap. We have a bit to get through, so we'll kick into it now. First up, we're going to speak to our correspondents Declan O'Brien and Rachel Donovan, who've reported the findings of our Irish Farmers Journal reader survey of almost 2,000 farmers. On this week's front page, Dec, you say that our survey has suggested that over 70% of farmers are planning to cut back on fertiliser use, and that a third of farmers have no product bought at all. What does this mean for the sector?
Well, I think it's just an indication of where prices have gone. We all know that prices through the spring have gone through the roof, you know, as the war in Ukraine and the hike in gas prices has been reflected back on fertiliser costs at the farm gate. So with the likes of urea hitting over 950 a tonne or up close to it, and, you know, similarly, can prices running well ahead of last year, you know, and up on 750 a tonne, it's no surprise really that farmers are looking at this and saying, well, will I stand back out of the market? You know, 70% of them saying that they're going to use a lot less, or suggesting, well, indicating that they're going to use a lot less fertilizer, is probably a reflection as well on both price and supply. They haven't been able to get what they want up to now. And some of them are saying, well, do I need what I wanted last year? When you see the beef farmers, that 60% of beef farmers from our poll are indicating that they'll cut back in numbers rather than go out and purchase expensive fertilizer and reduce usage rather than buy expensive fertilizer. I think that's just an indication of where both farmer thinking is and the market is.
And Dec, look, you've touched on it there as well, and probably a reflection of the mood on fertiliser, but you report there that nearly 50% of tillage farmers aren't planning to grow fodder crops. Does that put a bit of a spanner in the works for the Minister's 12 million tillage scheme that he announced there this week?
Yeah, I think, you know, that there's over 60% of dry stock farmers and dairy farmers are saying as well that they have no intention of partaking in it. You know, and I think it shows the limitations of that system. These farmers, growing tillage crops is not their business. There may not be the land for it. And I'd say that dairy farmers, particularly dairy farmers who think that they're going to be tight on feed, they have the wherewithal, even though milk prices are high, to reduce numbers, to cull cows. Beef farmers have obviously indicated that they're going to do that. From the survey indicates the sheep farmers are in the same position. And are they more likely to cut numbers rather than sow crops? I'd say they'll do the former rather than the latter. Now, there's only the survey suggests that there's only going to be a slight increase or take up in this scheme from tillage farmers as well. That being said, I talked to Pat Ryan from Liffey Mills this week, and he was indicating that he saw the scheme getting a bit of traction from livestock farmers. He said that in some areas where he had beef farmers coming in who were going to plant 10 or 15 or 20 acres of crops this year. But I think that getting up on 25,000 extra hectares of cereal crops could be a big ask.
I'd agree with you there, Dec. And look, Rachel, I know you've been analysing these figures in detail as well. I know Dec has touched on it there, the dairy side of things, but you wrote that 65% of dairy farmers say they're planning to cut back on reseeding and that more of them are considering having calves contract reared to reduce costs. Obviously, look, getting the reseed right is a big thing for dairy farmers. What did they tell us?
Yeah, so Barry, over 65% of the dairy farmers surveyed said they intend on doing less reseeding compared to, I suppose, what they had originally planned on doing. It's a significant amount of farmers who have changed their mind and changed their plans. And ultimately, I suppose this suggests that it's the price of reseeding is going to affect them. And I suppose the risk of not having fields and grass, whether that it may be for grazing or for silage. And I suppose you have to take into consideration the price of Roundup, the price of fertilizer, the price of diesel, all these things associated with reseeding have all are all well up on last year. I suppose on a similar note, they were also asked in the survey if they planned to oversow clover this year, and 42% of them said they did have plans to do so. When they were asked about contract rearing, 60% of farmers said they would consider it as a way of reducing the demand for grass and silage, which I suppose suggests from the findings that this will mean that they'll have more fodder next winter. However, 29% of the farmers who do contract rear have saw an increase in rates this year.
Very good, Rachel. Look, I know Dex touched on it from the beef side of things, but we also spoke to sheep, pig and poultry farmers on their plans on cutting back numbers in light of increasing farm input costs. Are we seeing a form of a mass exodus from some certain farm sectors? What's going on?
Yeah, I think so, Barry. The findings do suggest that. Shockingly enough, almost two-thirds of the beef farmers surveyed said they do intend on cutting cattle numbers due to higher costs. I suppose ultimately these findings would indicate that we may see a higher throughput of cattle through marts and processors over the coming months. Similar trends suggest that sheep farmers are also likely to cut flock numbers, with 46% of them thinking that way. Speaking to pig and poultry farmers then, who as we know have been experiencing a cost price squeeze for some time now, over half of the pig farmers surveyed said they will be cutting back on numbers, and 18% of poultry farmers surveyed actually plan to exit the sector completely. So there's some stark figures there, Mary, from our findings.
Absolutely, that's fairly worrying now. And look, thanks, Rachel, for that. And folks, you can find the full breakdown analysis of our reader survey on page 12 and 13 of this week's paper. Changing the subject altogether now, we'll move to cap entitlements with political correspondent Pat O'Toole. Pat, on page 6 of the paper, we say that there are big changes on the horizon affecting the trading of entitlements. How is this going to impact farmers?
It's all next year, like everything with the new cap. The changes will be in the rules around how entitlements are treated for tax purposes, but also there'll be a clawback, but most significantly of all, the entitlements themselves will change significantly, of course. So what's going to happen next year is a clawback. So there's a clawback currently of 20% on entitlements sold without land. So that's going to be removed for 2023 and 2024 to facilitate the transfer of entitlements between farmers. And to encourage it, I suppose. That will come back in 2025. So 20% of entitlements. So if you sell 10 entitlements, you only get paid, or the buyer only receives 8 entitlements, and 2 of them are returned to the National Reserve. So what's going to happen instead is that there's a new clawback rule being brought in of 10%, where a farmer leases out more than 80% of their entitlements for less than 5 years. So short-term leases that will be a 10% clawback. And we give an example of that. So if someone leases out 10 entitlements for 4 years, they will use one entitlement each year to the National Reserve. So that's the flip side, I suppose, of the changes around how the entitlements are going to be treated. So in terms of the impact of on entitlement values, high entitlement values are going to come down, low entitlement values are going to increase. And of course, eco schemes are being paid out whether you hold entitlements or not on qualifying land. CRIS will be paid out only with entitlements, but only on the first 30 hectares. So anyone who has 30 hectares who purchases entitlements, or anyone who purchases more than 30 entitlements, won't get paid CRIS after the first 30 entitlements. So like when you put all that together, there's a somewhere in the region of 40% of a shift in payments within the entitlement between these measures, eco schemes, CRIS front loading, and then of course convergence is going to kick in and move. Currently the minimum entitlement value is 60% of the average. That will change to 85% by 2026, in which year we will see the minimum entitlement being 135 euros, the average entitlement 159 euros. So we're seeing dramatic changes and those dramatic changes are seeing an impact in entitlement trading this year.
And Pat, look, I think some of that impact from CAP was reflected in the agenda at the department's information evening in Wexford on Monday night. I understand there were some heated exchanges from farmers who say they have been disrespected by the CAP and who accuse the department of not being clear on the level of payment that is leaving the southeast. I hear there were a few raised eyebrows also when a department official said that the traditional RA, or fairy fort as it's known in some parts, on many farms won't count as an area for nature. Was this a bit of bureaucracy gone mad?
It certainly seems like that. I mean, in terms of its impact on payments, if you've got a rat on your farm, and many of us do, or a fairy fort or a ring fort, as they're known, they're early settlements. Most of them, they're believed to be old farmyards, but they're not farmed. They are left for nature, and they are traditionally, typically overgrown with bramble and with briars and with bushes. Which you would imagine, you know, would be fantastic for as nature areas. But the department clarified in the meeting in Wexford on the Monday night that they're regarded as hard features, the same as a farm roadway or a modern farmyard. So if you were to put all the rats in the country together in one field, it probably wouldn't be as big as the big tillage fields that are in some counties, including Wexford. But it's the penny-pinching attitude of it. It's the bureaucratic nature of it. It's the fact that a farmer or their planner are going to have to go and mark this off and, you know, account for it every year. And even though it's provided for nature and left for nature by the landowner, there's no credit given for that. So I think it drove farmers mental. And similarly, interviews with James Hill and with Willie Perowitz were carried in this week's paper. They show that farmers in the southeast feel that the department have shortchanged them, that the new cap has significantly impaired their payments. The levelling effect of convergence, CRIS in particular, and the removal of the linked eco-scheme payment, currently the greening payment, is linked to your own entitlement, whereas now it's going to be a flat rate, which is another form of flattening of convergence. And it left farmers like the two aforementioned and Michael Doran challenging the department on where their thinking is, and also highlighting the fact that circumstances are currently changing and that the rethink of the cap is already underway. Now, my own sense is that farm to fork may be adjusted, but there's two elements to this, and the DLRD this week looks at that while the weakness of CAP policy in terms of food security and the complacency which developed in Europe at political level and among consumers around food security, where price was paramount and value for the consumer, forgot about the need for food security and a guaranteed food supply within Europe, which was a primary target of the CAP and the foundation of the EEC 60 years ago. But against that, there's also complacency within farming around the availability and free of supply of cheap inputs and fuel, fertilizer among them. And like that has been rocked by recent events. And we need to remember that when we try to redraft the farm to fork, that we have to reduce our absolute dependence on these inputs. So it may be that there's going to be a dovetailing between the environmental aims of the farm to fork and the food security aims, which are now going to be back on the agenda. in terms of input availability, efficiency, and weaning ourselves off our dependence on chemical inputs.
The Irish Farmers Journal has now reached our highest ever readership with 321,000 weekly print readers. Thank you for your support.
Thanks, Pat. And look, staying with Farmer Views and that Wexford CAP meeting now, we spoke to farmers James Hill and Liam O'Byrne, who were at the meeting in the Talbot Hotel on Monday night. Here's what they had to say. James, you were saying, you were talking about the lack of respect to farmers here this evening.
To working farmers, yeah.
Well, what's your view on that? You know, why did you make those comments?
Farmers who are full-time farmers and who have more activity on their farms than they have hours to deal with. So the option of part-time employment is not available to them if they're to stay farming. And that is the problem. And it's the real return on labour in farming that has been falling for the last 40 years. And now those people who had built up good entitlements, and largely they are continuing to farm as they always did, and now they are looking at very, very significant reductions in the support payments, particularly in the light of a very volatile input-output price situation.
And do you think that the team here from the department has even got that point across?
No. No. There has been no understanding of this. There's been no one. You heard three or four people say the same thing. It just is, look, they talk about squeeze middle. The squeeze middle is that farmer who has enough to farm that he can't go and work off farm. Yeah. And you're taking money away from him to give to people who are farming at a low intensity. Mm. And the payments increases to those people is very, very modest anyway. Now, those people might say entitlements are historic. They're over 20 years out there. Those people, they've made changes. And they work in, they have off-farm jobs, they've changed careers, they've done all sorts of things. They still maintain an active interest in farming to a greater or lesser degree. But, there hasn't been any incidents of starvation, and we have a pharmacy scheme for old people and for people who are at the very bottom with no other opportunities. So the concept of detracting from viable full-time farms to make them into less viable or to push them into a part-time situation, and very many of the farmers are of an age that they can't actually change, because if you're over 50 and you go looking for a job, no one wants to see you. You might get a job driving van.
Yeah.
But that's the reality.
And yourself, you're farming in Wexford, aren't you? What are you farming?
I'm farming mostly tillage, and I keep a few cattle. I finish those. I buy them in stores.
And what did you make of, I suppose, some of the analysis you did on tillage farmers there at the start of the presentation season on the schemes coming down the line? You know, is it going to work for you, or
no? No, absolutely not. Like, if we go back to last year, I was buying my manure at 209 per tonne. This year I paid 705, and it's from what I'm hearing, it's nearly €1,000 a tonne there now.
Yeah,
so our costs are going up, diesel has gone up, my contractor's prices are going up, and it's a weather-related thing to us, because unless we're taking big risks there for a very small portion of the acre of corn that we're producing. And I feel that we're done by here, because look, I'm going to lose a lot of my single farm payment here. And through the eco schemes, I can't even make it up. And if I do try to get there, I still won't get the full amount back. So I'm going to be out of pocket on that as well. I think going forward, I'm not sure whether I'll even grow corn next year or not. I'd have to look at the figures very carefully.
Your ask going to be worth your while.
Yeah, whether it would work me hard or not. Would I as well just draw down my payment and leave it, have no worries. And I think a lot of people are thinking like that. And even this year, those people are going to leave marginal land out because of the costs. And now here we're being told only a month ago to scale down, and now we have to scale up. So I don't know where we're going, but unless we get government intervention here, I think we're going nowhere.
The other point that's coming in on these so much lauded schemes, the AECM isn't going to be available to himself and Liam.
That's right.
Why so?
Yeah. Because the money will have run out before they get to us. Because yeah. we'll be in tier three.
To be like the disadvantaged area.
The deal with the tiers as they come along. And there's going to be a huge industry now in, maximising return on these effectively hobby farms, because that's what they are.
Next, we look at the IFA report launched this week, which shows that price compression by Irish retailers is threatening the viability of Irish horticultural growers. IFA President Tim Cullinan called for an immediate ban on the below-cost selling. We hear more from him now.
So we're here with IFA President Tim Cullinan. Tim, you've launched a report today looking at what retailers are doing to the horticultural sector. What's the report showing us?
Yeah, I suppose, look, the report is showing us and telling us what we've known. That the pressure coming from the retail sector on the horticultural sector, we've seen it, like several individuals in the industry have given up the ghost on the sector over the last number of years and more in the recent past. And this practice of retailers using fresh produce as loss leaders within their stores is driving people out of business. And I suppose what we're clearly looking for out of this now is, I suppose, there's a few things. The minister has committed to bringing a food regulator and bringing primary legislation to ensure that person has power and, to use his own words, teeth. They definitely need teeth to be able to go along the food supply chain to see where the margin is, whether it's with the primary processor or with the retailer or whoever. And we're certain it's definitely not with the farmer. We were out on the farm this morning with the Foley brothers. An excellent example of the excellent work that has been done in horticulture producers, massive investment on farms. So the other area then is obviously, we need legislation on below cost selling to finally end this practice of using fresh produce as loss leaders within stores. Because, as I keep saying, that's driving farmers out of business.
I know, Tim, the main retailers, a lot of them came back to us there last week to the Farmers Journal in relation to food prices and vegetable prices. We put the CSO figures to them where there hasn't been any increase in vegetable prices the last decade, if not gone the opposite direction. And I suppose their claim is that they pay farmers fairly, and that they are in constant engagement with their vegetable growers. Would you agree with that? I don't think that would be the mood in the ground.
No, that's not the mood in the ground. Look, the sad situation we have is a lot of vegetable growers are afraid to come out in public, and they did mandate me back a month or 6 weeks ago to take the case on for them on their behalf. And that's what we have been doing within the association. Because I understand where an individual is trying to get a deal or a price from a retailer, and at the same time, the crop is in the ground. The retailer knows this crop is in the ground. It has to be harvested. Like fresh veg, like the case we were this morning, when the tomatoes are available for harvest, they have to be harvested and they have to be sold. And that leaves the farmer in a very, very difficult situation. So you're right, like price being paid to a farmer or a producer for the last number of years have been going down. And we're at crisis point now. And if we don't see a change in the system, we just won't have Irish produce. And if the Irish consumer wants to be able to go into a retailer and buy Irish fresh produce, well, then they're going to have to pay more for it.
And finally, we head to the livestock team's Niamh Gunn, who spoke to Mark Gowers at Ballymart, County Mayo, on Tuesday evening. Farmer Kieran Flatley told her about the latest topics impacting farmers, including the beef trade, the issues of fertiliser costs and supply, and how the government can help support farmers today.
I'm here with Kieran Flatley at Ballymart in County Mayo. So, Kieran, are you buying or selling today?
Selling.
And describe your farming system at home.
Sucklers. I work on a farm in Kilkelly. We've 200 suckler cows, and we're just selling the remainder of our weanlings today. There will be most of the weanlings are sold on the back end, but we have just a couple of calves left over. So today we are selling them with 12 heifer calves and 11 bulls.
Perfect. And what do you think of the trade?
Trade is not too bad considering the way things are at the moment. I suppose happy enough with the way things are going. I suppose these were light calves that we couldn't sell in the back end and kept them on for the winter and fed them. And they left a few pounds, so they've covered the cost anyway,
Brilliant. And have you bought any fertiliser this year? Obviously, there's a scarcity at the moment, so...
There is, yeah. Well, usually we'd buy 50 tonne of fertiliser for meadows and pasture, but we actually bought 30 tonne there about 6 or 7 weeks ago. So we did. So we're going to wait. We probably thought the price would come back maybe later on in the year, but that actually hasn't happened. I think it's gone up 250 or 300 euro a ton since we got it, so we'll just have to sit tight and see what happens over the next couple of weeks.
And do you think there's profiteering going on in the fertiliser market?
It's hard to know. Sure, I suppose people that bought it early on, that maybe bought excess stuff, it's hard to know. To be honest, like at the price, what not many people were buying it. Everyone kept saying it was going to come back, and it didn't. It's actually gone the opposite way. So it's hard to see it. Look, some people are probably selling it again, but majority of people are probably holding on to it.
Brilliant. And what should the government do to support farmers at the moment?
There should be something done with the price of diesel. See, green diesel is gone through the roof, so it has a knock-on effect, I suppose, for doing silage, for reclaiming land and seeding and all that kind of stuff. It'll put a damper on all that kind of stuff. I suppose with the price of the fertiliser too, there should be something done to subsidise the price. So I suppose people that's buying fertiliser, there should be something given to them maybe later on in the year or something, just to try and give back to them instead of taking out of the pocket all the time.
Thanks, Niamh. Folks, that's all we have time for today. Remember, you can also tune into our Down to Agribusiness podcast, where this week Jack Kennedy, Anne Finnegan and Felim O'Neill debate the successful challenge to the global burden of disease study that said red meat was harmful. They also look at record profits at JBS, the world's largest meat processor, and a special focus on China's role in shaping global trade in agri products. More on those stories are also available online. That's all we have time for this week, and talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.